Any tribute to the birth of the United Nations should rightly recognize two men, Presidents Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Harry S. Truman, for it was the foresight of one and the persistence of the other that ultimately brought the UN into existence. It was January 6, 1941, not quite a year before the bombing of Pearl Harbor would bring the United States actively into World War II. President Roosevelt saw the principles of democracy and self-determination under assault around the world, and in his State of the Union address to Congress, he recognized that the future and the safety of our country and of our democracy are overwhelmingly involved in events far beyond our border. Roosevelt took this opportunity to put forth his vision of a post-war order founded on what he called four essential human freedoms. These were freedom of speech and expression, freedom for each person to worship God in his own way, freedom from want, and freedom from fear. This is no distant millennium, he said. It is a definite basis for a kind of world attainable in our own time and generation. These pronouncements in the earliest days of the war were followed with ongoing efforts to see that wartime alliances ultimately became partnerships in peace. The Atlantic Charter echoed the call for a post-war structure based on Roosevelt's four principles, which were later adopted in the preamble of the UN Charter. Meetings with allies, including the 1943 Foreign Ministers' Conference in Moscow, the 1944 Dumbarton-Oaks talks, and the summit at Yalta in 1945, all dealt directly with the question of post-war organization. Throughout the war, Roosevelt fought with the goal of building an international order to end wars. Roosevelt died in April 1945 in Warm Springs, Georgia, where he was working on the address that would open the conference on international organization in San Francisco. Upon taking office, President Truman's first official decision was to proceed as planned with the UN Charter Conference. In keeping with the vision spelled out by Roosevelt, Truman admonished the assembled delegates, "Man has learned long ago that it is impossible to live unto himself. This same basic principle applies today to nations. We were not isolated during the war. We dare not now become isolated in peace." His statement on this occasion, "If we do not want to die together in war, we must learn to live together in peace," is as true today as it has ever been. 50 years later, the UN still seeks to create the stable international order dreamed of by its founders. It has seen considerable successes and faced difficult failures, but this has always been the case with noble experiments. As Truman reminded the delegates in the room where you now sit, this day in 1945, the Constitution of my own country came from a convention which, like this one, was made up of delegates with many different views. Like this charter, our Constitution came from a free and sometimes bitter exchange of conflicting opinions. When it was adopted, no one regarded it as a perfect document. But it grew and developed and expanded, and upon it there was built a bigger, a better, a more perfect union. As the UN commemorates its 50th anniversary, it still provides hope for the future of mankind, just as its founders foresaw. On their foundation, countless other men and women have continued the difficult work of building a lasting structure of global cooperation and peace for generations yet to come.